وإينا وعم ضناي إلو حين ولينا مع السيدر وكننا علينا مع السيدر وكننه شلام عليكم بروخيم أبايم welcome everyone بزرات الشم. This is our sixth and final lesson in the story, the saga of Rabbi Yosef de Larina, a great and holy man who strived to the highest heights, who unfortunately didn't make it and fell to the lowest lows. In this concluding lesson, we're going to realize now exactly what it was that caused Rabbi Yosef's fall and what happened as a result of it. These experiences have served as a warning to rabbis and Mikubalim especially. Since its day, Rav Chaim Vital makes mention of this story in his Shari Kiddusha as a warning and an admonition for dealing, or I should say not to deal with, an area of Torah called Kabbalah Ma'asit. But Kabbalah Ma'asit, usually translated as magic. But a point that I try to make clear in all of my teachings: there is no such thing as magic. Hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo is all a fantasy, make-believe children's story. And people who believe in it are obviously no more mature than our young children. Magic, or that which is called magic, practiced by the wise men of Egypt in the days of Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu, practiced throughout the centuries, is nothing more than a knowledge and an awareness of other means and technologies which are actual and function here in our universe. That's all that it is. Science. That's right, science. So whether it's the use of a magic wand, and yeah, there are really are such things, of course, they're not magic, but there is a technology to it and how it works. Most of that which is today called magic revolves around the technology of the mind and the usage of what we can call psychotropic energy, the usage of the mind over matter, the use of, it's not coming to mind, so I guess it's not meant to be spoken at this time. Yes, it just did come to mind, so I guess it is. Psychotronic warfare. Remember those terms. Remember them well. Psychotronic warfare. Go do your web searches. Go do your Amazon.com book checks on these topics and see how psychic phenomena has been a long time subject of exploration, research, and discovery by many in the scientific community, rather clandestinely. And the abilities that they have been able to discover and augment through technology will shock you. You can read the literature, the material, the claims that are out there, and you'll put these things down and say, this is too weird, too wild, too ridiculous to believe, too impossible to accept. And while I cannot ascertain and validate all the details that are written in all these books, I will tell you that fundamentally, you can rest assured that it's all true. And that's just the way it is. Modern science tells us that we live in a multiverse, parallel dimensions side by side, as opposed to living in a singular reality. We know even in our physical world there is matter, and then there's what they call dark matter. There's all types of things. These are all real. And someday, some way, we will all understand it. It will make sense to us. That which we call life and death is really just a passage of consciousness from one dimension to the next. We will come to recognize that the true essence of what it is to be human is that we are truly extraterrestrial and aliens to planet Earth. That's right. You heard me correctly. We, the human race, we're the aliens. Because we come into this world and inhabit these physical bodies. These bodies are just a tool, a cloak, and a garment. We are required to use them for a time and then discard them. And so when we come to this world and we build this body in which to inhabit, it is sabotaged right from the beginning, right in its essential DNA, that after time, the replicating DNA, which enables us to maintain the body, short-circuits itself, if you will, and ultimately gets weaker and weaker, lesser and lesser. We call it the aging process until eventually the body breaks down. But even for that a long period of time, our souls don't stay too far away from home. That is why we have a process called sleep. And however much we wish to fight it, however much we wish to deny it or reject it, we still succumb to its power. And sometimes we are aware of what goes on during that period, and sometimes we're not. But nonetheless, something always goes on, and our true essence returns to its home for whatever purpose and reason. Our greatest problem, of course, is that we get stuck here, stuck in the illusions of this world. And as such, we literally pervert the flow of universal energy forces. Energy is meant by nature to be vibrant and flowing. Flowing means to be like cyclical. It comes down, circles down, and goes up. Down and up. We call this in the language of the Kabbalah, Or Yeshar and Or Chozer. We call it Mayim Nokbin and Mayim Duchrin. It is a natural flow. It is the natural vibration of everything. Science knows that every subatomic particle, everything, is in a constant state of movement and flux. And what happens when the human soul gets stagnated, stuck, and it doesn't vibrate in its proper natural form? It clogs up the system. That is what we call evil. That is what we call the hand of the Satan. Now, why does God allow this? Careful reading of Yeshayahu in the 45th parak states, God himself, Yotzer Or, Barei Hoshech, forms light, creates darkness. Oseh Shalom, makes peace, Uborei Ra, and creates evil. There's no devil out there. When we're reading here about the psalm that indeed Rav Yosef is in bitter battle with now, even Rav Yosef should have realized that as desperate as his struggle, this is still all a show. And if he had realized that, and if he had seen that, and if he had recognized that, maybe the outcome, as we will see in a moment, would have been different. But you see, this has always been our problem. Seeing reality for what it truly is. There is no such thing as hocus pocus, no such thing as mysticism. I, after being a student for a quarter century now, of what we call the Kabbalah, have always been questioned and amazing why people call it mysticism. I find nothing mystical about it at all. But it does deal with other realms and other dimensions. Going into these parallel dimensions, dealing with the entities that are there, especially the lower realms of our world, which we call Asiyah, it's very dangerous. Because unless you really know your way around, you can get in trouble, as did Rabbi Yosef. This is why Rabbi Chaim Vital, as I said, in his Sha'arei Kiddushah, and again in the Shaar Ruach HaKodesh, not only warns against using this type of Torah knowledge, meaning to interact with these Asiatic entities. That is what he calls Kabbalah Ma'asit. Not invoking angels, not using the Sefer Yetzirah, not Ma'aseh Merkava, none of that is Kabbalah Ma'asit. Not the use of amulets, none of that is Kabbalah Ma'asit. Ma'asit from the word Asiyah is the traveling into these interdimensional doorways, the likes of which we introduced in our previous class. That, he says, is so dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And I concur. Most people who try to enter these domains in physical form, usually, with extreme rare exception of the most holiest of people, have always come back what we would call possessed. That another entity and soul enters into them, causing their physical destruction. Indeed, we'll see that this is what happens to Rabbi Yosef. However, interestingly enough, Rabbi Chaim Vital in his Shara Mitzvot states that there is only one kind of person who is ra'ui, appropriate to use this Kabbalah Ma'asit of which he refers. And he says that is the one whom even the Yetzer Hara calls friend. Meaning that one who has been able to dominate and overcome and who knows truth and lives by truth. Knowing the truth is the hard part now. This is the one, he says, is appropriate and worthy to use such knowledge. Who would use such knowledge? Well, we know the likes of the Baal Shem Tov used such knowledge. We know the likes of Rabbi Eliezer Balarokach used such knowledge. Rabbi Yehuda Lo of Prague used such knowledge. Now, that's hundreds of years ago. How about some more modern names? No, I will not reveal who in our day and age uses this knowledge, but I assure you, it is very well known. There is a psychic force. Good gosh, you know a word just came to my mind to describe them? I've been reading with my kids Marvel comics lately, and superhero came to my mind. You know something? We really do have superheroes in our world today. They don't run around in tights and capes that look like something out of a comic book. I think that's a little over the top. The people who have abilities far beyond those of mortal men, it's quite a legitimate term to describe them. And these people, masters of the powers of mind, can transcend and transform things in ways that you wouldn't believe possible. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I know of what I speak and of whom I speak. And if other people say, well, I don't know, I don't believe, your belief is significant? Your denial is of consequence? I'm sorry if I sound arrogant, but your opinions on the matter have absolutely no relevance or concern. No one cares what you wish to deny. Truth exists regardless of your acceptance or denial of it. If you only knew the truth of what truly goes on behind closed doors, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. With all of the true power in this world, I assure you, there is a group in Klal Yisrael that truly protects and defends not only the land, but the people. And they do it in ways that you will never know. They do it through powers you will never understand. What's their number? Metaphorically, Gemara refers to them as the 36. You've heard of them as the Lamed Vavet Sadikim, right? It's a nice legend, isn't it? It's a nice metaphorical story. No, it's not. I assure you. It's a very well-organized and known group of people who know what they're doing and they know how to do it. And I assure you, it's quite real. Who are they? I'm supposed to know. I know nothing. I confess I know nothing. I take pride in my ignorance of not knowing anything. But with that knowledge, with this which I've shared with you, I offer these introductory insights into this concluding lesson to let you realize that we're not just telling a story, a once upon a time deal, but a real and actual event with real and actual people who saw, if you will, the dark side of life and endeavored to address it. Just like Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Elisha Acher, and Rabbi Akiva endeavored to do in Gemara days. We read about them in Masechet Hagigah. And others before them, and others after them. As much as Hashem is truly in control of all, there really is a war going on, a war of psychic powers, a psychotronic war. And it's being fought by many sides, and there are many victors and many casualties. The entire Western world, pretty much today, is a casualty. Minds are being influenced, brainwashed, if you will, by ways that hundreds of years ago would have been called occultic or magic. Today we call it the wonders of advertisement. Go back years ago and study magical texts and see what they teach today in advertising schools and see if they're not talking about the same types of techniques, flashing lights, you know, types of sounds, etc., and so on. It's all there. It's all there. Yes, you should be shocked and amazed in the world we live in today. And the powers that be, they don't mind that I reveal this to you, because they know that they are in so much control. They have so much tap into the minds of everybody who follows them like numbed zombie robots, that even if I were to literally give this class on prime time television to everyone in the world, it would be laughed at, it would be mocked, people wouldn't believe it. Say, you watch too much movies, you read too many books. But you know, I guess that's how people have been brainwashed to think. And if that's what it's meant to be, for the higher purpose, then so be it. I share this with you so you can know and make decisions in your life about what you want to do, how you want to do it. Don't come looking to me now for future instruction and guidance in this material, because the only thing that I will give you is what I'm guided to provide through Kosher Torah. And that's what is meant to be. For the more than that, God is your guide. God has always been your guide and always will be your guide. We left off Rabbi Yosef in a parallel dimension, where he walked through a veil and entered into a place which we call the literal dark side. It's a very physical world. It has air to breathe, ground to walk on. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The moon rises and everything else. But it's not our earth. It's different. The laws of physics there are different. Different things happen there than happen here. And Rav Yosef had seen this. He approached a great mountain of snow which disappeared. He went through this mighty sea which just dissipated. He had to go through a wall of iron which opened up and closed through means not by what we would call a door. Now, he was surrounded by the image of two barking dogs, which he recognized to be Samech Mem himself and Lil, his female mate. What's this male and female stuff? You should know that all powers are balanced, male and female. Active and passive, higher, lower, whatever metaphors you wish to apply. If you truly wish to make an assault upon anything, if you do not tap it in its complete form, then indeed that element which you miss will or can be the element through which you will fail. So Rav Yosef, guided by otherworldly entities, high angels, was given specific instructions, specific halachot. This is what you do, and this is how you do it. The details of those have not been told to us, but we can extrapolate some of them from our story. Rav Yosef now. Let's continue. He has the Sam and Lil in the image or forms of dogs trapped on ropes with amulets tied around their necks. Immediately when Sam and Lil saw, they're caught, they're nabbed, and that's what's going to be. Nifshatu mitzorot kelev v'nit labshu b'tzoratam. They immediately passed out of their form as being a dog and came back into the image of how they normally look. Tzorat Adam, like a human being. V'lehem kanafayim, and they had wings. Umalu anayim kamo ish bo'era, and they had many eyes like glowing fire. Doesn't say where these eyes were. Doesn't say what kind of wings. Is this a real physical form? Well, that's what it says here. Nit labishu b'tzoratam tzorat adam. That's how I translate those words. And they clothed themselves in their form, the form of a man. What kind of entity is this? A shapeshifter is the term. But even a shapeshifter has its natural form. So indeed, that is what Rav Yosef now was dealing with. He in essence had what we refer to as an angel. But this was no Homo sapien human being. If it was even of the Homo species, I couldn't say. I don't think anyone can. I can only give you the description. And I will tell you this. Aside from visions, which, as I've described in our previous lesson, are not physical, but mental in nature. Mental nature, you can see an entity in any size, shape, and form, or for that matter, project yourself in any size, shape, and form. But when an entity comes physically into our space, goes through a wormhole, if you will, a portal, and enters into our space or us into theirs. We as human beings do not have shape-shifting ability, but they do. It is the nature of what they are, whatever they be. And therefore they will often take a form which is endeavoring, intending to be frightening or scary to a person so as to solicit fear. Many times they'll take the physical form of an extremely seductive member of the opposite sex with the specific intent to seduce the individual and often to kidnap them physically, lock, stock, and barrel to another dimensional plane. We hear numerous stories that have come out of Europe where in which a woman would see a beautiful prince and give him a kiss and he would kidnap her to his lair only to find out that he's a king of the demons or something of similar nature. And she bears his children and etc. and so on. And numerous stories, you read about legend stories and Jewish stories and the like, you'll find stories like this. Are they individually true or false? I couldn't say. But the fundamental underlying teaching is most definitely valid. And mind you, even though we have these stories in Jewish legend, you will find similar stories told in every culture, from every time period around the world. Know then, as I've often taught, we are not alone. Not in the universe, not even on our own earth. V'yitchanenu nivakshu merebe Yosef letet lehem lechem omayim kedei shalitkayim lamod. Now Sam and Lil supplicate and request of Rabbi Yosef, please, we're beaten in a fight. Please give us some bread and water so that we can, you know, revive. They said, Adonenu, please, Rabbi Yosef, our Lord, our Sir, Ata, hine anachnu im kol machanotenu kifufim v'asunim yadecha. We, in all of our camps, are now subject to you. We are, you know, under your domain. You've captured us. Ein banu koachod. We have no more power to fight you. Well, say no banu kitov b'enecha. Do that which is good in your eyes. Sam and Lil are supplicating and asking for mercy. Is that not a good thing? Give us that which we can just survive on. Please don't let us, you know, suffer. You've thrown us out of our regular domain. Because that's the place where we receive our normal spiritual energy. You've removed us from that place where we're dying now. We're emaciating. We're losing our energy. We're hemorrhaging. Please, it's inappropriate. It's not even the will of Hashem that we should suffer in this way. What would you do in such a circumstance? Think about it before I give you the answer. Lama namut? Why should we die? Ten lana mazon lachayoteno ad boateno al har sair. Give us sustenance so we can live until we reach Har Sair. Now remember, this Mount Sair is the ultimate place where these entities will have to be, at least the image of them being slaughtered in that place. If they were able to have accomplished that task, they would have made a tremendous victory over the forces of evil, at least within his own soul. Now, that's the interesting part. Would it have actually brought Mashiach? We don't know that to be true. Let's move on. So he says, V'yamen Rabbi Yosef kashet tziva. Rabbi Yosef answers them as he was commanded by the angels. Lo ratza letet le'muma. He didn't want to give them anything. Now they're, you know, they're walking along. Rabbi Yosef's got them bound and they're on their way. Rabbi Yosef and his Talmidav says here, smichim etove lev. Peneihem penei lahavim. They're pretty happy. They feel really good about themselves. They feel that they have now won. V'samezugoto im kol machanehem holchim bobochim. And Sam and all of the others who have been now dominated, who are now bound. They're bound. They're going and crying, "Woe is us, what will be with us? Oh, have mercy." Now Rabbi Yossi heard all this, and you know what he started to think? He said, who would believe this, right? Everyone said we couldn't do this. Quoting in the Pasuk, he says, this is the great day, let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad, and say amongst the nations, God is king. Rav Yosef now, what position is he in? Is it smart to be happy? No, it's not. Remember, even what Rav Yosef is doing now is only part of, you will, an act in a play. And he should never get so involved in it to forget the truth of the moment. What is the truth of the moment? This is all but a stage. This is all but a play, and we are but players. So he gets pretty happy. He really thinks something great is going to happen. He really feels proud. And in that distraction, something happens. Az Anas Sam Valmar. Sam speaks to him and says, Yedati, Yechol Tuchal, Lo Yevetzeh Muma. I know. We're done for, if you will, alright? The Ifku Bechi Gedola says, alright, cries. He says, sir, Matik Had Mimini, why do you still fear me? Mekom Machanoti and every in all my camp. En la old kol shum koach v'chozek, we have no more power. Ve'in enu, kulano tahat yedecha lasot l'ratzonecha, we are all under your hand to do what you command of us. Eli, ten lano devar mal hazik ruchenu. Give us something to sustain ourselves. Ki b'man la'amod nitkemat bo shama. How are we going to survive until we reach Mount Seir? Rabbi Yosef answers and says, "I'm not giving you anything, because that's what I was told. Now they're getting close to Har Seir. Rabbi Yosef koret levona lahareach ba. Rabbi Yosef takes out a little frankincense. Do you ever see frankincense? They actually, it comes like almost like little rocks. You got to break it up into a powder between your fingers and you snuff it. It's like kind of like snuffing up. You stick it in your nostrils. I have a bag that I keep here regularly in the office for just such a purpose. You ever come by, I'll give you some. So Sam says, you're not going to give me any food. At least give me some of this frankincense, right? That you could have there. Let me have a little snuff. What does Rav Yosef do? Rav Yosef extends his hands and gives to the Satan from the frankincense that's in his hand. From his mouth, Sam blows forth fire. And he burns the frankincense that is still in Rav Yosef's hand, and it rises up as smoke into Sam's now, into his nose. What was all that? What was all that? It was like a revival of strength. The Ketoret incense, as it was offered in the Beit HaMikdash, was done as a neutralization of the forces of evil in these parallel dimensions. And the Satan is able to take the frankincense and transform it into its fragrance. That became for him nourishment, food. And it's the tantamount of offering on an idol, you know, on an altar of idolatry. And it says here immediately, V'inaket v'yinatek et ha-mosrot v'havalim. And immediately Sam broke all those things which bound him. V'yishlech me'alav et ha-se ha-oferot. He threw away all of the amulets that were bounding him. V'yitnager hu im kol ha-elav. And everyone was strengthened again. V'yifgu'u. V'talmidav, and immediately he strikes out at Rav Yosef's Talmidim. V'yamut mehem shnai miyad. Two of them died immediately. Mekol atrua shechariyas sam v'chayolotav. From the powerful voice that came forth from Sam and his camp. The voice. The power of sound. Sound wave harmonic technology. Very common in that parallel dimension of ours. Went forth and literally broke the bodies, shattered them, releasing the souls of them. Now, you can imagine that Sam is probably not a happy camper at this time. And he's not going to be very disposed to show mercy to Rav Yosef. So, our story continues. Shnami acharim nifka'u v'yitzum edatam. Two others of Rav Yosef's students were blemished in their minds and they went insane. Sounds like the story from Hagigah. The angels always touch the mind. I have seen people who have endeavored to travel into these parallel dimensions. And most of them, unless they are on the highest level of Kiddushah, always end up with some type of psychiatric illness. Usually, it's either schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia specifically, or more often multiple personality disorder, because one of the entities from the other side, in essence, invade their body and come back with them from the other side, and the person ends up a possessed soul. V'nishar Rabbi Yosef levado hu v'talmid ahad. The only ones left now were Rabbi Yosef himself and one of the students. V'hu ayef v'yagav Mishtomim. So they are both like totally wiped out here from what's going on. Rabbi Yosef himself didn't even recognize what had happened and what happened. He didn't realize that the frankincense that he gave them was as if that he made an offering to him as is done in idolatry, like I just described to you. And by doing this, all of the powers of holiness were therefore nullified. All of the amulets couldn't work, and everything else. And this was considered a sin that he did not follow the words of the angels. Here it is. This is how Rav Yosef fell. The most innocent, unknowing, he had no intention to serve Sam. No intention to support him. No intention to help him. But for a moment, like that, he slipped. And he said, what's snuff? And bam! What Sam knew and he didn't cost him everything. You might say, well, good gosh! But doesn't his good intentions account for anything? And the answer is no, it doesn't. Compare this, if you will, to a real military battlefield, where in which you got things going on. I don't give anything. I don't care what your intentions are. I only care at the end of the day, how did the battle go? Sam here is fighting for himself and his life. And he used every trick, as they say, all spare in love and war. And he took advantage of Rav Yosef's humanity. And therefore, destroyed him. Remember the lesson of Avraham Avinu with the Akedah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and said, bluntly, I want you to murder your son. Can you imagine if anybody today got a message like that? We would think one of two things. A, certainly not a message from God, you should dismiss it, it's ridiculous. B, you're clearly sick in the head, you need to be hospitalized. Go ahead. How would you respond to Avraham Avinu? The famous story of the Akedah. Take your son, your only son, begotten son you love, Yitzchak, kill him. Avraham knew that this was from God. Avraham knew and recognized the voice that spoke to him. And Avraham, who was called Ish HaChesed, the man of mercy, who was always nice, had to learn to overcome all of his nicety and do the most ruthless act of them all, to murder, an act of severity, the one who he would love on this earth the most. God didn't really want him to do it, but he wanted him to do it in his mind, to resolve to do it. And that's why he just didn't think about it, symbolically talk about it. No, he had to do it. And only when that hand was up in the air with that knife, ready to go down, did the angel say, you've learned your lesson. Now we know who you are. Rav Yosef did not follow in this sense as being a true son of Abraham. And instead of being severe as Abraham was severe, in a moment, in a flight of ignorance, he was merciful in the one time, in the one place where mercy cannot be tolerated. And because he was merciful in the place where he should have been severe, he lost everything. This is a great and profound lesson for us today. As Kohelet says, there's a time and a purpose for all things under heaven. We must know that there's a time for war, a time for peace, a time for love, and a time to hate. There's a time for one, there's a time for another. Just like we quoted Yeshayahu earlier, God is the author of both peace and evil. Both serve heaven. And when it comes time to extend mercy, we extend mercy. When it comes time to withdraw mercy, then we withdraw mercy. This was considered the great sin of Rabbi Yosef de Larina. Ba'oto harega, hayakola hara shan hoshech afila. At that time, all of Mount Seir was full of smoke, darkness, cloud, and a bat kol. A holy voice from heaven, Yatzav Amra, came forth and spoke, Oy lecha Yosef, v'oy l'nishmatecha. Woe to you, Yosef, woe to your soul. Shalosh amarta she'etzivita. You did not follow what you were told. V'avadata avada zara. You therefore committed idolatry. V'ktarta ketoret l'sam. And you made an incense offering to Samach Mem. I didn't mean to do that. I'm going to take a gun, point at a crowd, and I'm just going to close my eyes and pull the trigger. God forbid somebody gets killed. But I didn't mean that, did I? Well, you want to know something? It happens anyway. This is why I say, when you come to study Torah, you must learn the balance of the midot. All of the study of Kabbalah is called for the sake of Tikkun HaMidot. Avolafia speaks like this. The Rashash speaks like this. Tikkun HaMidot. Zah and Dinok. Zah, the six sefirot corresponding to the emotional balance. Nok, of course, the physical form. We have to have a balance emotionally and how that we express that and experience that physically. Without that, you will never, ever have a balance. These are the secrets of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, why their stories are taught to us in Torah, to teach us these things. Because as Rabbi Chaim writes in his Shari Kedusha, Midot Kadmon LeMitzvot. Proper character, that's all that this is. It's a prerequisite for Torah. And for those of you who know Kosher Torah very well, or not so well, teaching about character is what we are all about. Continuing. HaTalmid Achad Nashalem Rabbi Yosef Ayef V'yegev HaHalash. The one student, as it says here now, is with Rabbi Yosef. Right? Excuse me. Let me just finish what the Bat Kol said here. Hine hu rodef acharecha. Samech men now will pursue you forever. V'toradecha, you know, to push you out of this world and the world to come. And now, this one student who remained with Rabbi Yosef is weak and tired, right? Almost to the point of death. But yet they managed, doesn't say how, to leave that world and to come back to ours. V'yashuvu sham tachat ilan echad. They rested under a tree for about 2 hours and rested. They then buried the two students who died. And then Rabbi Yosef with his one remaining student returned on their path. And their faces used to be happy, strong. Now were bizarre difference, right? They said they were like green and weak. The other two were ill. We said mentally ill. It says here that they had a shindala to enter them. They were possessed. And they just ran off and disappeared, and no one knows what happened to them. Ultimately, Rabbi Yosef and his one student come back to the city of Sfat after about a month's time. And these two students then, as it says here, they died after about a month's time because of all the sufferings that the Shindalites were tormenting their minds and their souls. Rabbi Yosef, after this, travels and lived in Sidon. Sidon, today's southern Lebanon. And that's where he dwelled and began a life of terrible behavior. Being that he was not able to accomplish his task. And especially that he heard the Bat Kol speak. He lost all hope in gaining any portion in the world to come. And therefore he made a deal with the mate of Sama, right? The wicked one. He surrendered himself into her hand. And he would make himself unclean with all types of uncleanliness, meaning all different types of sexual promiscuity. Rabbi Yosef ended up being possessed. He was possessed by a sexual addiction. The energy which was promoting him and pushing him forward, introverted and reversed, and literally exploded within him, and destroyed him. He became what today we would call a sexual predator. Continuing here with our story. Ad ki b'shamot ha-kodesh u'b'sh'ar ha-shamot ha-shpa'ot asher ha-yodea ha-mishtemesh b'hem l'ra'ah. He even took the holy names that he knew and all of the other invocations of all powers of the manipulations of the mind and others and used them all for evil. He would invoke spirits and shindalits every single night to bring him, it says here, anything that he desired. But the meaning was to twist the minds of innocent young people for his sexual purpose and devious purposes. This is what he did for a long time. But Rabbi Yosef was not very smart or wise. He invoked and conjured upon the wife of one of the high officials of the land to come to him for him to commit adultery with, apparently, is the implication. And in the morning she returned. When this government minister apparently caught on to what was going on, that his wife was literally being hypnotized, mesmerized into these terrible, terrible behaviors. Shilach likrol hartumim, he called for his own hartumim. Remember, like Egypt, Pharaoh it is, he called for his, if you will, his wizards, his warlocks, his shaman, to say, what on earth is going on with my wife? V'samoto shomrim v'bayto, and they put a protection around her. V'yomar aleihem shehiyu mechanim zarizim v'ashpa'ot ashmot tumot, that they would use their own names, usually the names of the unclean side, it says here. So it's to block, to see who it was, or to discover who it was who was taking his wife. That's what they did. V'yoshvu mishmaratam, and returning upon their watching, and one night a shindalit came in the appearance and the image of Rabbi Yosef. Immediately they felt this, interpreted, and they understood what was going on. And therefore they invoked the shindalit to find out who sent you, why are you here, what's going on. And the Shindalit said, I am the servant of Rabbi Yosef, who sits in Sidon. Immediately, this government minister called upon what we would call, I guess, the police. It says here, the army, actually, right? And he says, you go. He called it, actually, to the mayor of Sidon. He says, immediately, I want this Rabbi Yosef brought to me, you know, arrested. Bring him to me alive. And let's see, you know, we're going to torture him and find out what the heck is going on here. So when Rabbi Yosef saw that this was going to happen, and he knew that what the Shadim had said and everything else, before the edict came to the mayor of Sidon, Halach v'shlichat smo liyam lamut, he went and threw himself into the ocean to commit suicide. And thus ended the story and the life of Rabbi Yosef. So high did he rise. So powerful was he. And yet because of a simple, minor, what we might consider insignificant flaw, he lost everything. Ended up being possessed. And from the highest heights, he fell to the lowest low. And our story concludes here. V'ani ha-talmid ha-chamishi, me, I, the writer of this story, I am not me personally, the reader, I'm you know me, but I'm reading from the story here, that the one who wrote the story says, Ani hatalmid hachamishi, nisharati levadi, I am the fifth student. I was there. I'm the only one who was left. Alright? Motal al eres davai kol yamai, and this is going to plague me and bother me for the rest of my life. Ein l'refu'a l'makati, there will be no healing for what I suffer. V'kol evarai martitin, and I suffer in every way. I have no peace from the shindalas who bother me always. Ketavti ze'a ma'ase le'zikaron, I've written this so it should serve as a record. May Hashem have mercy upon me. Ve'yomar letzaratai, die, and put an end to all of my sufferings. Ko divrei ha-talmid, and now he gives his name. These are my words, says the student, Yehuda Meir, who has saw this great and awesome deeds of Rabbi Yosef de la Reina. Adkan. Thus concludes this story. Now, again, you might applaud, say, wow, that's really cool, we should make a movie in this in Hollywood and all the rest. You know something? Probably would be a cool movie, now that I think of it. But that's not the point. This is a man who had all good intent. He shouldn't have fallen. Shouldn't we say, well, he had good intent, and doesn't the intent count for anything? And the point I must emphasize again and again. You know, in standard observance of mitzvot day to day, sure it does. In this type of material, no, it doesn't. That's why it's dangerous. That's why we stay away from it. Today, what proliferates in the world, I see the New Age philosophy, the return of Wicca, the return of magic. I've long been an opponent to the infusion of Harry Potter phenomena in Judaism. You see, the Harry Potter novels are translated into Hebrew. I see many yeshivot, Haredi, black hat yeshivas. I see many of the rabbis, the kids read it. I said, you know, you have no idea what you're doing. These things make magic look great and good and popular, and people enjoy it and they want to get involved. And you have no idea what they're getting involved in. And I had a big argument with a rabbi back in Chicago. He says, nonsense, garbage, I'm going to let my son read it whenever he wants. There's nothing bad in it. Till one day his son came home. He says, Abba, I want to learn to be a warlock. I want to learn my Kabbalah Masit. I want to learn Kishufim. I want to learn how to do this stuff. And he went out and he got books on magic kits and the occult. And then his wife freaked out. And that's when I got a phone call. You know something? You can't mess with these things. If you're the type of a person who wants to devote your entire life, like Rabbi Yosef de la Reina, so be it. And if not, then so not be it. There is no 50-50 here. It's either 100% or 0%. So therefore, the admonitions of Rav Chaim Vital should be followed. Stay out of this. Not everybody can serve in the army as a Navy SEAL, as a member of the Special Forces, as a member of a Sayeret Matkal. It's only for the specially trained and specially prepared. I assure you there are psychic special forces, psychotronic warriors, if you will. They're out there. They are. On both sides. You know something? Accept this, if you will. It's just a bit of knowledge. You can tuck it in the back of your head. Somehow, somewhere, you might see something, somewhere, maybe even in a television program. And you might say, I wonder if there's any truth to that. Continue asking. Because I assure you, there's a lot more truth out there than you know it. Most truth today is hidden in open view. It's the best place to hide things. Because that which is in the open view, no one believes is a secret. And therefore no one pays attention. And therefore the best place to hide a secret is right under on everybody's nose. Because the minute you hide something away, everybody wants to see it. Once everybody can see it, no one pays attention. Then you can manipulate and maneuver it. And no one knows the better. So, correlating to this series of audio lessons, I've just finished a 26 series book. Originally in the emails, I entitled it The Occult Mechanics, wherein which I outline in detail specifically how these other technologies work. Technologies of the mind, technologies of good and evil. And I teach people what to do, how to recognize it, and how to neutralize it. We're, God be willing, planning to get this together as a book, hopefully to get it published. We have new titles. We're thinking about how we would name it. We'll deal with that when the time comes. But I encourage you, these essays are presently on koshertorah.com. For more information about this type of material, please learn them. Learn about the reality of the world you live. because unless we change, we are all asleep. We are all asleep, and seldom will we ever awaken. And I have always said in numerous places, the sleeper must awaken. Wake up now. On that note, let me conclude this series. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.